Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Meow.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two of the program begins right now. Soren Petro with you. It is time to bring on our man, Danny Klinkscale, joins us here on a regular basis in the program. He's brought to you, as you heard, by our friends at Easton Roofing. Listen, storms blew through last week. Always free inspection and estimate with Easton Roofing. They're not going to be knocking on your door trying to use some high-pressure tactic. They're in good standing with all the insurance companies, so call Easton Roofing today at 913-257-5426. Listen, you've got enough to worry about today. Don't worry about your roof. Joe and his crew will be happy to come by, always staying safe, always keeping their employees safe. They can do everything digitally over the phone, via the computer. It is EastonRoofing.com or call 913-257-5426. And Easton is hiring repair techs. No experience required. They will even train you for free. Jobs start at $20 per hour, depending upon experience. Could be much higher than that, even salaried. Also hiring experienced residential and commercial sales reps, W-2 employee, salary plus bonus, healthcare and IRA match, truck, phone, uniform, and much more included. Great company to work for, Easton Roofing. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com or call 913-257-5426. Commercial and residential roofing, happy to do repairs. 4 straight years, voted best of houses. You're not going to find a better company to call for your roof than Easton Roofing. You're not going to find a better company to work for than Joe Spiker and his team at Easton Roofing. Find them online at EastonRoofing.com. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. Mr. Klinkscale, sir, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing great. I don't think I'm doing as well as the next to the last caller of the previous hour. I want to have some of what that guy's having.
He was fired up about the sun.
He was fired
are
up.
You not? Is that because just you're not a person that gets that excited, or does that mean you're not as excited about this signing?
I think the signing's fine. I mean, if you get a player for, you know, what isn't an exorbitant amount of money, you know, I don't think he's a $9 million receiver, but when he shows up in the playoffs as a $9 million receiver at least 2 years in a row, I think he can spend the money there. Clearly the Chiefs, by the way they're going about their business right now, believe that this is an offensive league. They have an offensive coach. Most of the players they've let walk, and the areas that they need to fill are on defense. And no, I'm just saying that that guy was fired up. He had his backs all ready, and he was ready to go hit a blocking sled. So that was it was inspiring is what it was.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so what do you think of the signing?
I think it's okay. You know, Sammy Watkins is somebody who has earned his money for the Chiefs in the biggest games. Besides that, as the final caller of the hour talked about, he's been a pretty average player, and you can never really count on him to play a full season. So it's a one-year contract. Could it end up where Sammy Watkins plays 5 games next year and you kind of waste $9 million? Yeah, that's possible. But one of the things that makes the Chiefs so difficult to play and dynamic is the fact that if you try and take certain things away, a player who is, as you talked about, a good player but not a great one can make great plays because he's put in a situation where everybody's paying attention to somebody else. And you know, that's where his place came last year in the postseason. So I think it's okay. Is he worth $9 million at this point in his career and with his track record and everything else? Probably not, but it's not a crazy amount of money. And he probably won't hit the not likely to get incentives. So you're not going to end up paying $16 million. And then if he gets them, I guess he's worth that too. So I guess I'm not going to jump through the roof about it, but I don't think there's any real downside.
I think the one downside might be that, like, if he had a 65-catch, 800-yard season with 8 touchdowns and he cost $16 million, he's overpaid. Right? Like,
that's
we think
true.
They're going to the playoffs with or without Watkins, right? We agree with that.
Sure.
So if he comes in, that like, while that's hard for him to achieve, based upon his career and certainly based upon the last 4 years and especially based upon the 2 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he would have done more than he's done, you know, as a Chief previous to now. I think you would still be like, God, I can't believe we gave him all this money. That's actually not that big a deal.
I think there's a couple things at play here. One thing is that I think it does say something a little bit about Mecole Hardman, that if they really thought, you know, that, you know, he made flash plays last year, but he was really playing like 9 or 10 plays a game down the stretch. And it seems to me that, and part of the reason apparently is that he doesn't really just have that great a grasp of the offense and doesn't do a lot of the right things out there. I can't be trusted on a play-by-play basis. If they thought that was going to change for sure, not so sure they would have gone down this road. So maybe it says something about him. I don't know. Because if you thought he was going to just step in and be like a developing first-round draft choice type of player, then I don't know if you would have made this move. But so I think that's probably at play a little bit. And maybe they feel like Watkins was also maturing as a person and a player as time went on, and only the injuries, which have been regular, and maybe slowed him down from becoming that much more of what a lot of people figured he should have been when he entered the league. So I think you can view it just about – I think you can view it exactly like the last two callers of the previous hour did. One guy so unbelievably excited he could barely keep himself on the phone, and the other player and the other person saying, you know, I think we wasted money. And I'd rather have Dez Bryant. So, I mean, I think that there's your spectrum right there.
I love Bob. Bob's a great guy. but I can't help him with Dez Bryant. Not for 1 second.
I am with you there. But, you know, usually if a guy's just out of the league, who knows? You know, Dez Bryant's only 30, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of old for the receiver. No, 31. But, I mean, he's not 36 and trying to make some kind of comeback. So I agree he probably can't play anymore, or he would be playing. But
his last truly impactful season was 6 years ago.
Right. Oh, I don't think anybody expects him to be impactful. But then again, Sammy Watkins hasn't been impactful.
I think the difference is are those playoff games, which, by the way, you got to be on a team that's good enough to get you there, you know, which we all know.
Yes.
But that's the difference between him and Dez Bryant is, you know, Dez Bryant's best known for a catch that was controversial and ultimately, you know, told it wasn't a catch, even though they may have gotten it wrong.
I am in no way, you know, saying that Sammy Watkins and Dez Bryant are comparable players at this point in their life. But no. I can see that Sammy Watkins has done things in his 2 years with the Chiefs that both can have you say, it's great that we're signing him for just $9 million for 1 year, and for some other people to say, why don't we just let him walk and let Hardman play? Both can be stated, and you wouldn't just go, you're an idiot.
Right, right. No, I definitely agree with that. Let's go back to what you said, like, is it an indictment of, you know, the other receivers? Is it an indictment of Mecole Hardman? Could it, which I think you can read it that way. I think that's a fair question to ask. Does this mean that, you know, the guy's just, you know, because really when he was out there, he didn't play that many snaps.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that they're going to catch on to is like, wait a minute, when he's out here, let's mark him. And, you know, there's just kind of these certain, you know, plays that they could run that he's effective at. And so, I do think that's all completely fair. When we talk about them, when we talk about Mecole Hardman, but could it be that Mecole Hardman is developing fine? And like, what did you want to do? Would you, if they'd have given Robbie Anderson 2 years, $20 million, would that have been a better deal? Because presumably you could have gotten Robbie Anderson for the same money that Carolina gave him because you're a better team. Maybe not. Maybe he thinks, hey, 2 years in Carolina as the number one guy, then I go get my big, you know, 3-4 years at $20 million or something like that. So maybe that would inspire. But let's say you could get him 2 years, $20 million. Would you have been more in favor of that? That would be less. Well, it'd be $17 million against this year's cap versus $16 million against this year's cap if you just paid him the 10 and you could backload it and do all that kind of stuff. But would you have been happier to get Robbie Anderson?
I think he's a better player, and you know, you would have had him for 2 years. you know, the big question here is how much do you really need, I guess? And is that money better served to be spent on the defense? I mean, that's probably the question that's at play here more than whether you'd rather have Robbie Anderson or Sammy Watkins. You know, how many weapons are enough when you have the ultimate weapon slinging the football?
Okay, all right. Well, let's stay with the wideout part.
Okay,
let's say that
sure.
They've come to the conclusion that they need all this firepower, that is what makes this whole thing go. That's what opens up the lanes for Damian Williams. It's what makes it easier for them to get away with cheaper guys guard to guard. They think that this is really the key. Because here's my point. Robbie Anderson got 2 for $20 million, and his career has been 42 for 587 and 2, 63 for 941 and 7, 50 for 752 and 6, and 52 for 780 and 5. I mean, that's Watkins-esque. So, like, my point is, and we can go to other positions, but at the wide receiver spot, Robbie Anderson, like, I know what everyone's going to say is like, well, but he's had crap thrown in the quarterback. Or he's had crap at quarterback throwing him the ball. Okay, but, you know, so did Sammy Watkins before he got to the Chiefs. And getting to Patrick Mahomes didn't just automatically rocket his numbers up. Well, he had good guys around him as well. All right, okay. There's always a yeah, but. The numbers say he's nothing better than Sammy Watkins. And based on the pedigree of when they were each drafted, the pedigree says that all the tools are way better for Sammy Watkins. And so from that standpoint, you know, I think they may have done as well as they could do. If you just say, listen, take him off the roster, which he was never off the roster. But if he was, they ended up getting a guy that's probably better than anything that was available, unless you wanted to give up a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs, at which you would have had to have given up more than a first-round pick because the Bills gave up more, and your first round's not as good. So I think actually this value, I think what they got for what they paid based upon their starting point was really good. Okay, the $7 million, like you always say, Danny, you're the guy that's coined the phrase. The money spent. Worrying about a $7 million dead cap number is irrelevant. It shouldn't even really be associated with him. Once it's done, it should just be thrown over in the dead cap category. You did it, and now there's no looking back because you can't change it. So from that standpoint, I think it's really good. Now, to your point about, listen, you drafted Hardman to be insurance for Hill but also to replace Watkins. You need to be getting on to that. And if you're going to sign DeMarcus Robinson, it's because you think he's got more left in the – he's got more ceiling there. So let's see it, and then go find the next new guy and go get you a corner. You should have been in on signing a corner and let Watkins go. Now, from that standpoint, I'll give you that. Is that the direction that should have happened?
I think probably so, but I understand what the Chiefs are saying. We want to be super dynamic on offense. Great isn't necessarily even what we're aspiring to. We almost made the Super Bowl with a wretched defense. Then when our defense came around, we won the Super Bowl. And the defense wasn't great for much of the season. So, and they probably really like their coordinator now because they progressed as the season went along. So I understand what they're saying. If I'm looking at building a full football team, I think the Chiefs had quite a few things walk. They have a desperate need for corner now. And I think their offense will be really good if Sammy Watkins wasn't around. And that's why I'm kind of just looking at the situation and saying, what do they think of Hardman? What do they see in year one? Do they see a guy who's just never going to get it? And is that what they're saying? That we just have to trot him out there every so often? And he's a dangerous kick returner, but as far as being a receiver, he's just a one-trick pony. And we figured that out. Maybe that's part of the idea there. But, yeah, I guess if you're going to pin me down, I think I would have wanted to see that spent in the defensive secondary. But it's not a strong opinion. I'm not unleashed on that one. Let's put it that way.
I like that. I like that. I'm not unleashed. Let's put it that way.
Still tethered to the stake.
Yeah, good times.
I'm tethered. I'm tethered on that one.
Danny
good enough.
Tethered.
Danny tethered to the stake. That's strong.
Tied to the whipping post, baby.
Yeah, I enjoy that one. All right, so let me do this. Let's play this game, and say, okay, you know, let's turn it around and say, what corner would you have liked in free agency?
You know, I don't think you wanted to go to the top of the food chain. You know, that probably is always bad business.
All right, just let me fill in the blanks as you talk your way through it. Byron Jones, 5 years, $82.5 million, signing with the Dolphins. Theoretically, you should have been able to get him, you know, for it. His average salary is $16.5 million per year. Let me see if they worked it in nice and low in year one or not. But that's the top of the food chain, as you mentioned. You know, so I mean, listen, the fourth highest paid is Kendall Fuller, right? James Bradbury, 3 years, $44 million. Trey Waynes, 3 years, $42 million. Kendall Fuller, 4 for $40 million. And then Desmond Trufant, 2 for $20 million. Chris Harris, 2 for $17 million. I mean, is there a guy there that you're like, this is the guy? I mean, realistically, it would have been re-signing Fuller and giving him $10 million.
I'd say I would go with either Fuller or Harris, because I think Harris has something left, and that's a good deal. But the other ones, you know, to me, they're probably too expensive. Fuller's familiar with what you're doing. He played good football for you. Now, maybe they looked at it and decided that was too much money. But they looked at Sammy Watkins and decided that $9 million wasn't too much money. I guess if out of that group, I think Chris Harris probably has a little bit left and would probably enjoy playing here. It's a championship team. It's the kind of signing I think you make when you're a championship team. If you wanted to go for somebody younger, then I probably would have gone with Kendall Fuller.
I did see a thing that, like, the highest passer rating, cornerbacks giving up the highest passer rating, or like Josh Norman, Ronald Darby, and Xavier Rhodes. And those are all names that have been discussed at length by Chiefs fans over the last few years. And they were all giving up like 100-plus passer ratings.
You know, what happens, I think, a lot of times is that players like that are playing in a scheme that benefits them. And if they try to play outside that scheme, you know, especially if they're zone corners, you're probably going to give up a higher passer rating too. And a zone corner is probably at the whim of the big plays he makes. That if those plays dry up, if he's intercepting three balls instead of eight, then he's not that effective a player because he's going to give up something if he's his own corner.
Right. Fuller's deal, by the way, with the Redskins is backloaded. It's 4 for $40 million with $23.5 million guaranteed. Base salary of one. His cap hit this year's four. So you could have done a deal like that. He was clearly open to a backloaded deal. The $23.5 million is where it's guaranteed. They show that they could basically get out from under it after year one. He already gets to where he is cheaper to cut than keep. So, you know, now it's a $9.4 million hit versus counting $13.1 million next year. But that's the kind of contract. I mean, I think that was the player. You know him. You know what he can do. You sign Fuller instead of Watkins, unless it ends up being Watkins instead of Chris Jones, right? In which case, Kendall Fuller's out either way.
Yes. You know, and what goes with Chris Jones, and I think you and I are on about the exact same page with Chris Jones. I still don't think he's going to be a Chief unless he wants to be a Chief so bad that he doesn't want to take the top amount of money. So,
yeah.
And maybe they did think that was still viable, and that's why they didn't go in the direction of Kendall Fuller. I don't know, but I'm still, if you had to, you know, ask me point blank, dead, you know, put your mortgage, everybody's mortgage is in peril right now, but on something, I would say that Chris Jones isn't on the team next year, but that's me.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk more about the Chiefs. We'll talk more about Chris Jones. We might get a little bit into the David Beatty lawsuit with the Kansas Jayhawks. with Danny. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. I don't know why I'm giving it to you, because we're talking to Danny Klinkscale right now. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Absolutely the best. If you, like right now, it's raining today, right? It's a bad day. Listen, if you had hail come through, the damage to your roof may not be the kind that just absolutely has rain pouring in to your roof, but it's the kind that over long term will cause a lot of problems and a lot of expensive repairs. You may only need a repair. You may need a new roof. Make sure you go with a company where integrity matters. That's Easton Roofing. Call them today at 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. They can do everything with your roof, all digitally, electronically, and practicing social distancing. You need that roof to be in tip-top shape. Easton Roofing will make sure it is. Free estimates, free inspections. Don't be pressured by some high-pressure salesperson knocking on your door. Go with Easton Roofing. They have great, great ratings on Google. Angie's List Super Service Award winner, 4 straight years, voted best of houses. Happy to do repairs, unlike a lot of other roofing companies out there. It's Easton Roofing. Find them online at eastonroofing.com.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. How many Chiefs have had multiple 100-yard receiving games in the postseason? If it's 13 in their history.
I know Sammy Watkins is one, and I'm assuming that if you're going to do this, that's what it's about, is showcasing Sammy Watkins. So I'm going to say one.
Two. One Chief has three. Nope. Although I think he was the first. Yes, he was the first.
Oh, Travis Kelce?
Travis Kelce has three.
There you go. There you go. I probably should have said that first, don't you think?
Not exactly a list there. 13 all time. Of course, they haven't had many playoff games in their history.
I was going to say,
since the passing game became a thing, I guess we would say.
Yeah. I've done that many times when I've gone on with shows around the country where they'll be talking about, Arrowhead and the tradition in the playoffs. I'm like, they only have two wins. I mean, until the last couple of years, right? They only have two wins in Arrowhead in the playoffs. What? Really? I'm like, yeah. It's it actually isn't what you think it is when it comes to the postseason. It's the Statue of Liberty, for crying out loud. Give us your tired, your poor, your hungry, and we'll lay down and let you beat us.
I think I determined at that point there had been 38 different teams that had had two home postseason wins in one season. And the Chiefs had had two in their history before a couple years ago.
That's why the Super Bowl was so important, because really the Chiefs were often referred to when you'd say, storied Arrowhead or a storied franchise. There was nothing storied about the Chiefs franchise except, the fact that their owner was part of the development of the league, and he was such an important part of the league. The team itself had not produced at that level, and everybody across the country is in love with the experience that's been waxed on about at Arrowhead forever. We here knew that the level of football success wasn't certainly anywhere near storied. But now
it actually was storied, but by unbelievable failure. historic failure. It wasn't even like under the radar. They were a big story for losing.
But it actually was under the radar. You know what I mean? Like you would pull those numbers out, Curtis, until the last 2 years. We would pull the numbers out about like the worst winning percentage and the most. We know how long it had been without a playoff win, how long it was without a home playoff win. All these things, yet nobody else in the league knew. Like, I guarantee you, James Brown sitting on the CBS set and Kurt Menefee sitting on the Fox set as the host of the damn network pregame shows. And who's host NBC now? Is it Myers?
Tirico?
Not Chris Myers. No,
young, slick-looking guy, yeah. I don't know.
Well, whatever. They've got about three different guys that sit at an anchor desk, but whoever it is, whichever one guy you want. Tirico does a little something, that young guy does something. But who's the guy? He does
Dan
a sports
Patrick
talk show from his attic.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah, Dan Patrick. Now, I guarantee you none of them, as like the, the conscience and the ringleader of pregame NFL football in this country, had any freaking idea of how much of a desolate, desert of success the postseason was for the Kansas City Chiefs. And even the appearances, like the quantity, because you're like, oh, they're in there every year. Remember Marty? And then they got in just enough. They got in once with Vermeil, and they got in once with Herm, just to, like, not quite let you realize and that, like, I had a question, like, you know, that it's that the Browns are going on 18 years since they were in the playoffs. The Bucs haven't been there in 13 years. They would just get Makovic in 86. You know, they just stick their toe in the water where it's like, yeah, I think I've seen this guy here at the pool. You know, yeah, he's here. He swims. No, he can't swim at all. He just puts his toe in every 8 years, right? He sucks. He's terrible.
That's true, man. I mean,
and nobody could figure it out.
Well, they went for a long time without primetime television appearances, despite the fact that the networks just love coming to Arrowhead so much. That was an indication of how bad it had been, how long it had been. And then finally they've turned that corner, and now they're on primetime all the time. And they're going to get extra bumps from it because of the state. Yeah, they're the champs. They have Patrick Mahomes, all that. And everybody loves coming. So, you know, they're going to be in there. I don't even know. There is some kind of maximum, I think. But they're going to hit it.
And if you think about it, this discussion here kind of grew out of the fact that the people talk about the historic part of Arrowhead Stadium. So, like, yeah, I guess it did fly under the radar. That was the whole departure point of this discussion, was that people think it has history when it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it absolutely. It's
and that's why it was so great.
But listen,
it was so great. That's why it was so great. Also, that the variety of circumstances led to them actually winning the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead, which didn't really seem that maybe they would have won the AFC Championship game, but it didn't seem like it was going to be at Arrowhead. And that really was great too, because that just it dolloped on at least one more little chip away from this gigantic glacier of misery.
You know, think about it. They went to the Super Bowl by winning the AFC Championship game in their building and as a two seed. If you'd have said, listen, the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl, tell me how they go. And I would have told you that they would have gotten in, played in the wild card round, you know, a home game there, then beat a team that was banged up, like knocked their quarterback out of the game and got by a team they shouldn't have gotten by. And then they played like the Kerry Collins Titans one seed in Nashville. You know what I mean? Or the Steve Bono one seed Chiefs, right? Some team that had a great defensive year. The turnovers all went their way. The schedule smiled on them. They got the one seed. They really weren't that good. The best team got hurt late somehow, maybe even in the game against the Chiefs. And they back-assed their way into a Super Bowl, of which I would have expected them to get blitzed in. And instead, they pounded their chest and were the 1-2 seed in back-to-back years with the conference championship game in their building, winning it decisively the second time, and being the best team in the NFL and just overcoming so much. I really do believe they were the best team in the NFL last year, and the injuries are what bogged them down early to a 6-4 record. And what they really were was the team that went 9-0 after that. And I would have never told you that that's how it was going to be, because I never imagined that there would be a quarterback on this team. Do you know how hard it is? How big of an adjustment it's been, especially last year, and now this year too? The draft, like, I don't even know how to talk about the draft, because it was always about what quarterbacks were available, which ones could they get to, what would you trade to get them. Like, the draft is I'm learning a new language now of preparing for the draft without having to evaluate the quarterbacks all day, right?
Right, and the other thing that's difficult to judge about the draft for the Chiefs is the fact that no matter what, they seem to want to draft some offensive players. So when you're trying to, you know, make a mock draft for them or whatever, what are you going to do? Well, they got to pick a corner here. Well, not necessarily. So, I think that makes judging a Chiefs draft that much more difficult as well, because they understand what this league is now, and they don't want to seem to drop off a today's signing indicative of that. They could certainly spend $9 million on their defense, and they've got spots to do it. And they decided that the offense is our calling card, and we're not going to let it dip a few percentiles just because we have the best quarterback, and we're going to let him carry the mail for us.
Is that the plan? Is that what everybody's plan should be now? When it comes to drafting, is draft offense? Like, are they showing everybody the light? I've asked a number of people, you know, here when we talk draft with different people, I've said, listen, you know, are offensive players being pushed to the top? And should they be pushed to the top? Because the Chiefs are winning with offense. Now, what's amazing is you said they draft offensive players. I'm looking at it on their day one and day twos. What do you think the they've had six picks. How many of them were offense? How many of them were defense over the last 2 years?
You're probably, since you're making this point, I'll say four defense, two offense.
Five defense, one offense.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman's the only one.
Right.
Juan Thornhill, Colin Saunders were the other two in 19. And in 18, it was Breland Speaks, Derek Nottie, and Dorian O'Daniel.
Right. I mean, they seem to be turning. But I think before that, they still – but I'm not going to be surprised. I mean, they traded up for Hardman, so he's the one. But I, your point's well taken. There's no question about that. But
let me look. Let me see.
To answer your other question, no, I don't necessarily think teams should completely load up on offense, because one of the keys is that they want a supersonic offense, and they've got the quarterback to do it. If you got a bunch of great wide receivers and a good running back and a great tight end, and you've only got a good quarterback, I don't know if that works. If you're neglecting your defense, they've got Mahomes, so that's a big part of the equation.
Before the last 2 years, they drafted seven offensive players and six defensive players on their rounds one through three. I mean, I like to farm out one through three, because really the top 100 are the guys, and four through seven, you're buying lottery tickets and special and drafting special teams guys with upside, right? So, listen, I do think it's a fair point. I think you can, when you add in after hitting with Tyreek Hill, they sign Sammy Watkins.
Sammy,
you know,
right?
I think you know, when you add in the free agent moves that they've made. You know, they draft Eric Fisher, and then they sign Mitchell Schwartz, right? That speaks to what it is. They sign Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and they draft Mitch Morse in the second round. So I think your point is valid. I think they've put an emphasis on offense, but I think that's what the analytic guys will tell you. I mean, I listen to the Eric Eager's podcast all the time, and they're constantly talking about, you know, they laugh at the teams that are like defense, 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 defense. And they're like, it's a joke. Like, you have to have an offense. You have to be able to score points. And when you watch the Super Bowl, I mean, and I'm they won me over like 2 years ago, right? That I'm like, this defense wins championship stuff is crap. And, you know, it's why all last year I said, I've seen this Ravens team, right? I've seen them. I've seen the Titans. I've seen it. It's Marty Schottenheimer ball, and it ain't going to win. And maybe it won't be the Chiefs that take them down, but they're not winning the Super Bowl playing that style of football. And lo and behold, the Chiefs got down to all of them. You know, they didn't play the Ravens, but they got down to the Texans. They got down to the Titans. They got down to the Niners. The Titans and Niners were both supposed to be grinded out running games. Boy, we just don't want to get down to the Niners, because they'll just run you into the ground. No. And all the Chiefs needed was enough possessions and to get deep enough into the play card, and really, frankly, to start going for it on fourth, start being aggressive, like, okay, we don't have time to screw around anymore. Really, punting's not an option. So on third and 15, let's go jet chip wasp and get it down the field, instead of let's try to get half of it and we'll punt and we'll come back. Once they got aggressive and put it all on the offense, nobody could stop them.
Right, but that's my point about Patrick Mahomes. Wasp is a play that can't probably be made by almost any quarterback besides him. You know, the way he backed up, the way he threw it, that distance. And so the Niners, with almost anybody else at quarterback, win the football game, probably. So,
I'm fine with that because with that style
that we talked about, and they may well could have won a 20-17 or what, a 17-14, whatever game. And then everybody would say, you know what, that high flying stuff is all well and good. But Patrick Mahomes is a special wild card player, and he is capable of making that play that, when you've played defense very well all day long, kills you. I mean, that's exactly how, if you think of just the way I always talked about the 2015 World Series and how you would view it if you're a Mets fan. If you're a Mets fan, we blew it. Our closer blew three saves. If you're a Niners fan, you say, we blew it. Our quarterback didn't make plays right at the end, and they hit us with one big one. So, you know, but the team, the Royals, and Patrick Mahomes are capable of making those plays. It's no surprise. It's no fluke.
How many guys do you think I agree with what you're saying. I would add an addendum. It's make that play and all the others. Because, right, I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, Josh Allen makes that play. Right? I mean, or can make that play. I'm not saying he would make that play. You got to know where to go with the ball. You got to throw it before he comes out of his break. You got to have the arm strength to get it there off a move. He was moving in the pocket as he was throwing
it. You've got to tell your coach you want to run it.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And,
Josh Allen probably wouldn't do.
No, and Josh Allen, I think, would have been getting his ass kicked so bad that that play would have been irrelevant at that
right.
point. But I think, like just from the standpoint of who can make that play, it's Josh Allen, it's Lamar Jackson. I'm just looking through a list of quarterbacks. I'm not ready to say Kyler Murray could, just because I'm not buying him. But I think Deshaun Watson could. I think Aaron Rodgers could. Carson Wentz could. Russell Wilson could. Of the ones that would make it, I think Jameis Winston could. Of the ones who would, Winston would throw it to a linebacker on the other side. He wouldn't. I think Russell Wilson would. I think Carson Wentz might have. And I think Aaron Rodgers. And I think Aaron Rodgers would have.
That particular play, I think Wilson and Murray are too short to make the play. Because he was basically getting hit in the chin about when he threw the ball. So
maybe.
I think those two players maybe were too short to make that particular play. But they certainly have the skill set to make it. I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think there's just a handful of guys. I think you're right. Listen, it does. It all comes back to Patrick Mahomes, which takes us back to your point about, like, hey, you have him. And so many of the plays are made beyond just what is the original scheme. Not that Andy Reid doesn't do a great job of coaching guys of the fire drill. Like, listen, when he escapes, here's what you do. He does do that, but you got to have that escapability. He has it. Then you got to have the arm to go ahead and say, when he escapes, you know, what was the old adage in coaching? Come back to your quarterback. Come back to the ball, right? Not now. Not with this guy. He escapes. It's like, go long. Take off because he's going to send
right.
it, right? It's
right.
It's a whole new level. So there's no doubt that the single biggest thing is Patrick Mahomes, which is why anybody saying Patrick Mahomes needs to give a hometown discount is crap. It's why Sammy Watkins should take the hometown discount to get Patrick Mahomes signed, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the very excited caller I referenced earlier, and everybody should take moments to be excited right now because we need excitement in our lives. But what his point was in part is that why wouldn't you, after you've made that big second contract, you've made a real pile of money in this league, want to be part of something special for at least one more year and have yourself in the perfect situation where not only do you have the ability to be freed up by those other great players, but you can become a champion and become somebody who's lauded and become somebody who's kept on the team by just making a couple or three special plays at certain points, at important points. And who wouldn't want that? It's like you always talk about college basketball coaches who go to a place where it's a football school or whatever, and you know they don't. The NCAA tournament is gravy. Sammy Watkins has had a couple of great games in the postseason, basically based on a couple three big plays, and that's fine. And it got him re-signed. And it got him $9 million, but he realized, you know, maybe I could make an extra $5 million somewhere else over 2 years. Why would I do that? I've made a lot of money in this league, and there's no pressure on me whatsoever. He's been in that world before, and I can just go out and enjoy football and maybe win another ring.
Yeah. No, listen, I think that's what you got to count on. Is that people want to come play with Patrick Mahomes, and I think you can count on that. I think Sammy Watkins wants to. And if Chris Jones isn't one of the guys that wants to, then you take what you can get in trade and you move on. And you find other guys that you can sign that can come play the spot at 80% of what he does for, you know, 15% of the price. Right?
That's the other part is if you have Chris Jones and he's not that type of guy, not to say you can't win with guys like that on your football team, but is he once if you paid him everything he wants, is he really that motivated to, you know, be great still? He knows that Patrick Mahomes can carry the day. I think you might get a lesser football player also if you paid him the maximum money that he wants. So I think there's a variety of reasons why, you know, paying him absolute top dollar doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, we'll take a break, come back. More with Danny Klinkski. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Call Joe and his team at 913-257-5426. That's 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. And if you're looking for a great company to work for, Easton is hiring. Repair techs, no experience required. They'll train you for free. Job starts at $20 per hour. Depending upon on your experience level, if you do have it, could be much higher than that, even salary. They're also hiring experienced residential and commercial sales reps, W-2 employees, salary plus bonus, health care and IRA match, truck, phone, uniform, much more included. It is a great place to work. And, of course, it's the place to call when it comes to fixing your roof or getting a new roof. Online at eastonroofing.com. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. And now this has been your local grocer for over 90. Danny Unleashed is brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You can find them online at eastonroofing.com. Commercial and residential roofing project manager on every site. Happy to do repairs. 4 straight years voted best of houses. Angie's a Super Service Award winner. You can check out their great Google reviews online. No payment collected. So you're 100% satisfied, and they do take credit cards and PayPal. Let Easton Roofing handle any repairs. If your roof got banged up in that storm, they'll be happy to come out and give you a free inspection and a free estimate. And they do that, by the way, with integrity and honesty, not knocking on your door, no pressure sales. And they're going to make sure you don't file a unnecessary claim. Those could be bad news. If you file an insurance claim and you don't really need it, that is a problem. Don't let somebody pressure you into that. Call the guys and gals at Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. Danny, real quick, the transcripts coming out of David Beatty and Jeff Long, I don't know how much you've had a chance to read.
Oh, yeah.
Read them or hear us talk about it. Can you come up with a scenario as to why Kansas wouldn't have just written the $3 million check?
No.
All right, moving on.
I know. It's $3 million. I mean, it's pocket change in college sports. It seems personal to me. Maybe that, you know, maybe a lot of the things that that are underlying currents of this are true or whatever, and they just are, you know, are proving a point. But to me, it's just I don't get it. My simple answer is no. Especially in this, you know, a petty fight like this at this point in time, we've got so many things going on. And you know, I did want to mention that I talked about this with Todd last week. You know, the world of sports is really becoming so important in this whole thing that we're going through right now, because we are setting, in the world of sports, not me, the mileposts. They're discouraging right now, but we're setting them. We're providing the reality for people who think that this isn't such a big deal. You know, Wimbledon, they just up and canceled it. I mean, it's been months, and it just canceled. I mean, they didn't think about postponing it. They didn't, you know. I mean, now they did have a huge insurance policy that was going to come due, and they had to make that decision. So that, you know, there's underlying things but sports is doing a great job of reality checking for us, however disappointing it is. I mean, we are getting slapped in the face on a daily basis with things that are being canceled, not just postponed, months down the road. Sports is providing that dose of reality. And it's tough to swallow sometimes. You're thinking to yourself, my goodness, that's way down the road from there. And they're not even, you know, looking for a date a month later or something. They're just saying, fine, we're done for the year.
That was a big right turn from David Beatty's contract to.
Because I said, I thought it was a simple answer. I can't understand, you know, that's why I took the turn, because. Yeah. I can sit here and elaborate all I want, but I think it's just a foolish and petty move, and they just should have scratched the check.
Yeah, no, I think. So. But what do you make of, like, when Les when they do that? Now there's video. You know, the Star went and found video of Les Miles talking to coaches. You know, and they're like, "Oh well, don't worry. We put them in different color shirts, so that doesn't happen anymore." That was one of the things that was said in the deal. Like when you do this, you just kind of set your own guy up for failure.
And also, it's yet another reason you should have scratched the check.
Yes, yes, because now you brought scrutiny onto your guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's multiple obvious reasons to just write the check. I mean, if it's $14 million, right, you know, if David Beatty was getting paid real football coach money, okay, I got you. But he was getting peanuts. Pay the peanuts. Yeah. Eat the peanuts. Shell the peanuts. Then the star isn't going and taking the pictures and looking at the video.
Yeah. You know, you just invited it in. Listen, yeah. I get the vibe that everybody in Kansas is still on board with Jeff Long, so I don't think it's hurt him to this point. But
no. And
listen, if they win 8 games this year, no one's going to care.
Well, no, let's hope they play. Let's hope they play 8 games.
Yeah, that's a big part of the start when it's all said and done. Danny, always great talking to you, buddy. Stay safe. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll do it again next week.
Always fun, Seren. Always appreciate it.
DannyKlinkscale.com. Check out his great work there. It's DannyKlinkscale.com. He's brought to you each and every week by our friends at Easton Roofing. Integrity, it matters. EastonRoofing.com. We will take a break. Come back. 2-Minute Drill coming your way next.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Danny never says goodbye to me. Two Big 12 players have had 10 assists in a Final Four game. Name either one. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.